Thank you for the prayer, Ashley. It's not nice, though, to make a preacher cry before he gets up to preach. Good morning. It's wonderful to see everybody here. We appreciate our visitors. So thankful for your presence here. I encourage everybody to take out a Bible, follow along, make certain that what is said is according to God's word. Thank you to those of you who are joining us online. I missed you the last 2 weeks. I know that there's lots of curiosity as to how things went. I had hoped on this trip that I would get good clarity as to what would be the best decision to make, and what has become clear is a few things. One is I've got a really tough decision coming up. I don't know which congregation is best. It does seem like one of these three will work. We are waiting for one of them to make a decision. I met a lot of good brothers and sisters. I enjoyed being in other congregations, but the thing that became clearest is that none of them are you. And you are a very special congregation, very special Christians, and you mean an awful lot to Bonnie and me. There you go, Ashley. I'll just do it for myself. Well, it is the first Sunday of the month, so as become tradition within this congregation, we continue on with the theme for the year. And our theme for the year is from Philippians 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And it's been a fantastic theme, good for us to consider as we go through. And we've looked at this idea of an overview of the context, which was finding contentment in all things. And then we spent a lesson looking at how this passage is sometimes misused. People thinking, well, I'm just going to have an easy life. And that's not what the verse is saying. And some saying that God's just going to let me do anything. I can do all things. And that's not what that passage is saying. And some just look at the special emphasis on I can do all things. And that's not what that passage is saying. It's talking about the greatness of God and his power and how he is, strengthens us in what we face. And then I began when I was first given this series, I started breaking down the lessons that I wanted to cover, and there came to this one part, and I saw it as kind of a trilogy, three different sermons, and we began basically a few months ago. I can endure all things is what he is saying in that passage. If you look at the context, it's about circumstances that he's facing, whether he's rich or poor, whether he's hungry or well-fed. He says, in all circumstances, I can endure all things. And that's primarily what he was saying. And then we said last month, that doesn't quite go far enough for that particular passage, because it's not about I will survive, it's about I will thrive. And in this context of Philippians, in a prison letter, Paul is saying, I can rejoice in all things. But I want to go one step further than this, and I want to add that I can be faithful in all things. Because while I think that the main thrust of Philippians chapter 4 in its context is this idea of endurance and rejoicing, faithfulness is something extra. Because you can endure and you can rejoice and not be at all right with God. For example, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul writing Peter, 1 Peter writing, he says in chapter 2 and verse 20, he says, for what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? So here's somebody who's enduring, but they're enduring what they deserve. They've been wicked, they've been evil, and now they're being punished and they're getting through it. There's no great benefit to that. There's nothing great about that. Simply surviving doesn't mean you have this great relationship with God. And at the same time, simply rejoicing doesn't mean that you have a great relationship with God. Unfortunately, we often rejoice when we have a broken relationship with God. And God calls on us to change in that regard. In James chapter 4 and verse 9, he says, be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. And he's calling upon them to repent, to cleanse themselves. And he says, you got to stop rejoicing. So there are going to be some people who are always happy and they shouldn't be. So when he says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me, it's not just I can endure, I can get through it. You can do that without God. It's not just I can rejoice and be happy. You can do that without God. It really is no matter what happens, no matter what I face, I won't quit God. I will stay faithful to him. And brothers and sisters, as our time together is coming to an end, this becomes just the most important thing to me. That you stay faithful. Because I want there to be an eternity together. And it doesn't happen if any of us quit. So be faithful. Do you know Colossians and Ephesians, they're written to the saints that are Colossae and the saints that are Ephesus. But he doesn't just say that. What he says in Colossians 1 and verse 2 and Ephesians 1 and verse 1, it says, to the saints and faithful brethren. To all the church, these are the people who are faithful. And we're supposed to be faithful in all things. And we got to start off with that and say, well, what exactly do we mean by being faithful? And really, I'm going to talk about two things. And there's a challenge with the word that's translated faithful. It really just means faith. But in this context, it really doesn't mean faith. It's the same word. It has a totally different meaning. And it's challenging because the translators come upon this word and immediately it says faith, but in the context it doesn't make sense. And so they have to kind of change it a little bit. And so when we come to it, it says faithful. And we might be thinking full of faith, and that's not exactly it either. Faithful, we understand what it means when we think about marriage. If somebody's faithful to their spouse, what do we mean? We mean that they're not cheating on them, that they are wholly dedicated, devoted to this person. And not flirting with other people. And that's sort of what we mean here. That when we're being faithful, it means that we are going to focus on God. He is the one and true God. And we're not going to worship the false gods and the false gods of the world. We're not going to get caught up in materialism, the God of wealth. But we're going to keep our focus and our dedication to God. And using the same terminology then in James chapter 4 and verse 4, he refers to these Christians who had gotten caught up with the things of the world, whether it was wealth and pleasure or whatever it was. But he says to them, you adulteresses, you cheaters. Do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. As Christians, we have made a covenant. We have made a binding relationship with God, saying, you are my only God. You are all that is in my heart. And when we say, be faithful in all things, we mean, don't lose that. The other thing we mean by that is this word faithful means to be trustworthy, to be reliable. And so you look at Titus chapter 1 and verse 9, and we can see the challenge of the word faithful. And it's talking about the qualifications for the elders, and it says that they need to hold fast the faithful word. And you think, well, the word isn't faith word. It's like that doesn't really make a lot of sense. The word isn't believing. It's that the word is reliable. It is trustworthy. You can count on it. The promises that are made will come true. The things that are stated are true. And so it is faithful. And he's saying, we need to be like that. We need to be reliable, trustworthy. God has given us work. Be reliable and trustworthy to get it done. We had read for us this morning, Luke chapter 19 and verse 12 through 27. And if you look at those passages, it's the parable of the minas. And you're probably more familiar with the very similar parable, the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25. There's a reason why we looked at this one instead. See, the parable of the minas adds something. Parable of the talents says there's this man who gives his servants these different amounts of talents. He goes away, he comes back, and he wants to see how many of them were faithful to him. Parable of the minas adds, he goes away and some of his servants decide, I don't want him to be king at all. And so they rebel against him. And we actually see both of these definitions being used there. The first one is in Luke chapter 12, the ones who say, we don't want him to be king. We want a different king, somebody else to be in charge. They are not focused on the king. They're unfaithful in the first way. But those in the other ones, when they come, when the king comes and he says, let's see what you did with the minas, and some had grown and had more minas, what did he say to him? Luke chapter 19 and verse 17, this phrase, we want to hear it on the day of judgment. Well done, good slave, because you have been faithful in a very little thing. You are to be an authority over 10 cities. Our life on earth, the things we're doing this morning, the things we're going to do this week, are opportunities to be faithful. They are tests of our faithfulness. Will we be reliable in serving God? So we say, be faithful in all things, and that's an interesting meaning. It means in all aspects of your life, right? In every aspect. In fact, that's what we're told. It's kind of a challenging verse in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 11. Here you have the qualifications for elders and the qualifications for deacons, and then there in the middle it says in the women, but it says the women should be faithful in all things. And I can't tell you definitively if he's talking about elders' wives, if he's talking about deaconesses, or if he's just saying women in general, but I feel pretty safe that we can say this is true for all of us. It's not like we're supposed to be faithful in a few things with God. We're supposed to be faithful in all things, in all aspects. Or in 3 John, in verse 5, he says, beloved, you are acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren, and especially when they are strangers. We are being faithful, reliable to God when we help one another. And it's even more true when we help the people we've not met before, the people that we don't know by name, the people we don't have close relationships with. Bonnie and I just visited a lot of congregations. We dropped in on one early. One of these congregations, we came to their evening service, just kind of worked out, and they had no idea we were going to be there. They did not know me. Well, turns out they'd been stalking me, and as soon as services ended, they ran up and said, you're Jared. I'm like, that was weird. I've not had that happen before. But I was walking in the back, and this one woman just walked right by me, and she stopped, and she said, I don't know who you are. And then she introduced herself to me. And she was exactly what we're talking about here. She was walking and she realized, here's somebody who I don't recognize. This is a larger congregation. And she wanted that person, me, to feel welcome. And in doing that, she's being faithful to God. We have opportunities to be faithful to God all over the place. Whether it's the ways that we're acting when we're driving, or what we do when we're in the assembly and making certain that we encourage one another, and especially when we see visitors and say, hey, I don't recognize you. I want you to know that I'm glad you're here. And encourage one another. But it makes me think, what does a faithful Christian look like? You know, these two aspects, this focused on God and dedicated to his service, reliable, trustworthy, you're always going to be doing it. What's that look like? And I think about the first century Jews of the Old Testament. And now your whole history is gone, right? I think about the Jews in the Old Testament times. Well, what would a faithful Israelite look like when it comes time for Passover? Where would they be? When it comes time for any of the feasts, where would they be? And then I think about this today, and I'm like, while this is not the ultimate of Christianity, one of the clearest signs of our dedication to God and our faithfulness, our dedication to serving him, is in consistent and persistent attendance. Coming here to worship God regularly, not casually, not occasionally, not when it fits our needs, but saying this religion, this relationship with God, this is what matters. I sacrifice for this. This is what I'm faithful for. And then I wonder, what does faithful Christianity look like during the week? What's your speech going to be like? What are the things you're going to say when you're at work, when you're at home, when you're at school, when you're at play? What sort of things are you going to do? I want you to think about what a faithful Christian looks like, what they behave like, and then say, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that always. Because when we say be faithful in all things, we don't actually mean this. What we mean is this next thing, and it is no matter what you face. See, Satan believes that we won't do that. Satan looked at Job and said, he will not be faithful if I make life hard enough for him. For others, it is, he will not be faithful if I make life good enough for him. But all that Satan is trying to do is to keep us from being faithful, one way or the other. And Paul is teaching us, and the Bible is teaching us, that we can be faithful no matter what we face. Consider the same thing in regards to marriage. We look at those definition of faithfulness. Is there a circumstance in which I'm allowed to cheat on Bonnie? Is it, well, you know, we've been married long enough, I think I can go see other women. You think that's going to go well? I don't think I should have used myself as an example in this case. This is a terrible mistake. When it gets to the point where it's like, you know what, marriage isn't as much fun as it used to be. Now, is it okay for me to cheat? When it gets hard? At what point is it okay to cheat? One of the most baffling things, and I'm thankful for it, but our society has got so much wrong. It's so confused about so many things. But all these people seem to still understand it's not right to cheat. And if the world can grasp that, certainly we can. And if we can grasp it in marriage, certainly we can grasp it with God. Under no circumstance, whether it gets hard or difficult or whatever may be happening, under no circumstance does it become okay for us to stop being faithful. And so in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, we're told to be faithful unto death. That means faithful all the way to the point you die. It also means faithful even if it's going to make you die. Even if it means I'm going to die because I'm a Christian. Because I'm a Christian, you still stay a Christian. You still stay dedicated to God. You still give him your heart and your service. And Paul sets the example for us. And again, I don't know that Philippians 4 and verse 13 is particularly focusing on Paul's faithfulness, but the book of Philippians does. He talks about the fact that he's in prison. He talks about the fact that there are people within the church trying to hurt him. He talks about the fact that in Philippians chapter 3, he has lost everything that used to matter to him. Everything that used to matter to him, he lost. He lost his respect. He lost the honor of men. But he says, what I gained was Christ. And then he says, I press on. And again, he says, I press on. And you know what he's saying when he says, I press on? I remain faithful in all things, no matter what I face. Why? Why should we be faithful if we are like Job and our family dies? And life is just truly filled with misery. And we don't want to wake up because we don't want to face the day. And we don't want to go to sleep because we don't want to face the nightmares. Why still be faithful? And the answer to that is a few things. One is because under no circumstance does God change. No matter what you face, God is still God. He is still the Creator. He is still the Almighty. He is still worthy of our faithfulness. And because we should have been ready for whatever we are going to face. Thinking about Paul specifically in Acts chapter 9, verse 15 through 16, here's a great way to tell somebody to become a Christian. Paul has just learned that Jesus is the truth, that he is alive, that he is the Christ, the Son of God. And he is off weeping and praying and fasting, and Ananias comes to him, sent by Jesus, and the message to him, here's what Ananias is told to tell him. In verse 15, the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and sons of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, you want to be baptized? When Paul becomes a Christian, he becomes a Christian with the plan, with the intent, with the destiny. I'm going to suffer. It's going to be hard. And so, yes, they throw rocks at him until they think he's dead. But he doesn't quit. Yes, every single town he goes to, he's being chased, he's being persecuted, he's being arrested, he's being whipped and beaten. But he doesn't quit because he expected this. He knew it wasn't going to be easy. Christianity is not going to be easy. And if we can prepare ourselves for it, we can stay faithful. Loved ones will die. Pain will come. There will be challenges. And it will be hard. But we have this resolve that says, and I will not be the one who quits. I will stay faithful. And why should we be faithful in all things? Why can we be faithful in all things? Because God's going to help us. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Well, wait, Philippians 4, verse 13. What did that say? I can do all things through him who strengthens me. The strength is coming from him. I can be faithful in all things. Why? Because God won't allow me to face anything that's too much. It'll be hard. It'll be difficult. But he will always provide a way of escape. He will always limit it. We do not ever have to be faithless, unfaithful. So I can be faithful in all things. I want you to stop and think for a moment with me. What would it take to make you quit? How much pain? How much disaster? How much evil occurring around you? What would it take to make you quit? Well, the answer is I can be faithful in all things. I can be faithful no matter how much it hurts. I can be faithful no matter how much I have to give up. I can be faithful even when the people around me fail me. Even if all the members of the church have forgotten me and nobody calls, that circumstance doesn't change what you can and need to do. I can be faithful even if everybody fails me. I can be faithful even if it gets easy to disappear. Around the world, at least around the country, churches are facing this fact. When COVID hit, there were more members before than there are after. Because we went through this time when we didn't see each other's faces. And it was just easy to disappear. I can be faithful even when nobody would notice if I left. I can be faithful even when my life is great. Sometimes that's the trouble people face. When everything gets really good and wonderful and they're filled with blessings and their life is so filled with happiness, they're like, they forget they need God and they're no longer faithful then. I can be faithful in all things, but brothers and sisters, that statement is true, but is it enough? It is true for absolutely everyone in here. Yes, you can be faithful in all things, but that's not the question, is it? What I need you to say is, I will. Yes, you can, but will you? And I hope that we will all say, I will. But of course, words are one thing. How many people have made promises of marriage that this is my spouse and this is my spouse for life, and then the marriage ends? How many Christians have made a dedication to God and they say the words, I will be faithful in all things, but then something happens and it ends. Let us be resolved. I will be faithful no matter what comes. No matter how long, I will serve. I will be focused on him. Well, some of you have found that's quite challenging. Because eventually, it seems like we can't serve. I mean, we put an emphasis on attendance, right? We put emphasis on let's gather together and worship God. And then a virus comes along and all of a sudden we're all in our separate homes. What are we going to do? You do the best you can. You overcome the obstacles as best as you can. And as we get older, we run into the same problem where eventually our bodies start to fail. When we say, I will be faithful in all things, it means do what you can, when you can, for as long as you can. The day may come when I can no longer preach. The day will come when I no longer can preach. It may come sooner than I wanted. I might lose my mind. I might no longer be able to communicate. And then I can't do this. But whatever I can do, I got to keep doing it. And the day may come when you and I get to a point in our health where we can't do this. We can't get to the car. We can't drive ourselves. We can't make it to services. The day may come when that happens. But we do what we can. And it may become less and less, but we stay faithful to Him and say, whatever I can do, whenever I can do it, and for however long I can do it, I will. Because I will be faithful to Him. I appreciate your time and your attendance, and I will appreciate even more long-term consideration and application. Brothers and sisters, let us be faithful in all things. Whatever we face, let's serve Him. If there are any here who are not Christians, we give you an opportunity to become one, to come and serve a God who wants to forgive you, to save you, to bring you into His family, and to give you an eternal home in heaven. He is offering you so much, but He is asking a good bit. I surrender all. He's asking you to give up the things that you have loved, to give up the things that you have given your life to that are not worth it and will break your relationship with God and ruin your soul. And God's desperately asking you, give those things up and come follow Me. If you're ready to do that, if you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, well, we have water ready. You can be baptized into Him, and by promise of Scripture, you can have your sins washed away and begin this journey with us, a journey of faithfulness, a journey towards God, a journey towards heaven. If you're a Christian and you haven't been faithful, we have a God who'll take you back. We have a God who begs you to come back, and we join with Him. Won't you return? Won't you be forgiven? Confess your sins, and you will be. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?